Sisters and brothers in Christ, today marks the first Sunday in the season of Epiphany. It's Baptism of the Lord Sunday. Epiphany, as you probably know, is when we remember the arrival of those three magi bringing their gifts to adore the gift that God has sent to us all in Christ. But that word, Epiphany, has a much broader meaning than just that. And it announces the reality of something with much farther reaching implications beyond just those gifts. Epiphany, Epiphania in Greek, is a word that just means manifestation. The manifestation of God in flesh, God in Christ, as the real flesh and blood presence of God's life in our very world, invading our very reality. That epiphany is a manifestation that something very different and something very new has arrived. It is a manifestation that brings good news, the gospel, to a world that desperately needs to see God don flesh for itself in order to know what true good news looks like. Mark's gospel is distinctive in many ways, but one of the most notable here at the beginning is that in the very first verse, it tells us that this is an account of the movement of the good news. This is a gospel that starts out the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is a narration of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, but it's not a biography. It is a narration, first and foremost, about how God's announcement of good news has taken shape in our world through his sending of a son. As we read on, we can track, in a manner of speaking, the progress of this good news. We can take notice of the particular shapes that it takes. And what we stand to learn from that kind of attention to Mark's message is not just who Jesus was or what the good news was some 2,000 years ago, but also what it looks like for us to embody that good news today, to manifest it for the world, you might say, in a spirit of this season of Epiphany. And so I'm beginning today for this season a new sermon series called The Beginnings of the Good News, How the Gospel Reaches the World. Because I want to begin this new year talking with you about what good news looks like and how it spreads. I'm going to be moving progressively over these next several weeks through this first chapter in the Gospel of Mark that promises us some insight into what it looks like for good news to get on the move. And to give you a bit of a preview, what we're going to see is that good news on the move is not a one-dimensional kind of thing. It's not just this or that. It's not the kind of thing that favors the gifts of certain types of personality and leaves others at a disadvantage. The kind of good news that we'll read about is a broad and sweeping kind of good news that calls you and I and the entire church as one global whole simply to manifest it, to bring it to life, to make it a reality through our life as God's people. Good news isn't just something that we relate verbally. It's something we take part in and embody and manifest within our world. And Mark, the beginning of the gospel, very quickly brings us around to Jesus' baptism, and I'm inclined to believe that there is purpose in that so far as an account of the movement of the good news is concerned. Baptism, you see, is our inclusion into the body of Christ. It is where the gospel begins with us as we're made part of God's people. And it is a vital part of the movement of the good news, because the gospel message that's at the very heart of baptism is that baptism incorporates us into God's life. And the invitation to be baptized is open and available to everyone. In fact, when we think on that topic of spreading the good news of evangelism, one of the very first verses that we're usually drawn to is that verse of the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19, that says, go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything I command, Jesus said there. Those are the two pieces of instruction that accompany that commission to be spreaders of the good news. Something about the manifesting of Jesus' good news to the world as a church very quickly brings us to baptism, you see. A couple of years ago now, I preached a long sermon series on baptism, as many of you may recall. And where I began that series with the passage on Jesus' baptism, I spoke at some length about how what we're witnessing in this passage is Jesus' baptism. Jesus taking John the Baptist's baptism out there in the wilderness, his baptism of repentance, and transforming it here into something else, into something different, into the means by which we are made members of the body of Christ. I spoke about how when Jesus is baptized, the entire Trinity makes an appearance. Christ, the Son in the waters, the Father's voice from heaven, the Spirit descending in the form of a dove. Jesus is making baptism something new here in the baptism at the Jordan. And I invite you all, if you like, to go back and to listen to that sermon that I called Baptizing Baptism. But here's the point. The gospel begins in baptism. The gospel gets on the move through baptism, because in baptism we are made members of Christ's body. And as members of Christ's body, you and I are called to manifest God's life for the world. We are an epiphany people, you see. There is a sacramental piece to this, to the gospel hitting the streets, because God's life, alive and visible in the streets of our world, is a holy and missional thing. It is the very thing that we are commissioned for and called to be, church, to be Christ's body for the world. And we renew that sacramentally as well when we take communion, to be Christ's body for the world. Church, this week has been a traumatizing week for our nation. I watched, as I know many of you watched as well, as our Capitol building was stormed and windows were broken. People scaling the walls of the House and Senate chambers, sitting in the Speaker's chair, invading their offices. We've had at least two killed, reports of IEDs, and many other things. Members of our Congress hiding in terror while the doors were barricaded and guns were drawn. I watched it. I couldn't keep my eyes off it. I was horrified, as I know you were too. We are in real trouble as a nation. We have allowed our politics to go way too far. And I, church, was shocked and appalled to see the name of Jesus on some of those flags, invoking the name of Christ as if this was a representation of Christ's politics, as if what we were witnessing was an extension of Christ's manifesting in the world. No, it was not. What this has been this week, what we have borne witness to, is an anti Epiphany. An anti-epiphany on the day of Epiphany. And it has dragged Christ's name into the mud. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16 to his disciples, "Be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And part of wisdom, church, is to know when our religious convictions are being manipulated for political purposes. It's high time that we called it out. It's high time that the body of Christ stands up and says, "We will not accept this anymore." We, for our part, refuse to let Christ be implicated in a politics of nationalism and domestic terrorism. We will not be fooled and co-opted into joining Caesar's army. You cannot dupe us and rope us into this sort of activity by appealing to a few of our deeply held convictions. We are wiser than that. We are the baptized body of Christ sent to be salt for the earth, to embody for our world and our environment the good news that Christ embodies for us. Enough. We are Christ's body, and that is a holy thing. It is a sacramental thing. There is, I believe, a certain kind of independence of mind that comes with being wise in this way. At some point, we are all called on the carpet to order our commitments. What are we first? Are we parents or children first? Are we men or women first? Does our race come first? Does our nationality come first when it comes to ordering our identities? Am I an American before I am a Whitley? Are we Republicans or Democrats, liberals or conservatives before we are Christians? What comes first, church? Our baptism tells us that we are God's first. It reminds us of that. It calls us to keep that before us in the ways that we walk forward in this world. Because it's through that baptism that we become an extension of the gospel, that we have become an epiphany people. Oh, church, the good news gets on the move in this world through us. We are made members of Christ's body through baptism, and that is a sacred and life-changing, world-changing inclusion. But we do have it in our powers to drop the ball and to tarnish this beautiful treasure, just as we have the power to accept it and to walk forward in it as well. At some point today, I invite you all to take a bowl of water out, to dip your fingers in it, to touch it to your forehead, and to remember that you are a baptized member of Christ's body for the world. And if you've never been baptized before and feel faith's tug on your heart today, I want to ask you to reach out to me. Come and be baptized. Because the beauty of this good news is that this life is freely available to you as well. God's grace is free on offer. Won't you come forward and be made members of Christ's body for the world? Our calling is to be bringers of light, to be an epiphany people. And the invitation to come or to renew is always open to us. This world today needs bearers of Christ's healing, of God's good news, of God's light. And all of God's people said, Amen.